I'm going to Washington Thursday.
We're going to get started on the land use committee, August 27th. In attendance, we have Council President Bullock, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Co-Chair Councilman Tackett, Councilman Weiner, Councilman Cartier, Councilwoman Diller, Councilman Smiley, my aide, Chrissy Roberts, and myself, Jared Retta. What's the pleasure on the minutes?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. I see Councilman Street has joined us. Okay, first in the discussion, we have plan of Greenville Center, Christiana Hunter, east side of Kennett Pike, Route 52, north side of Buck Road. Proposal to add 35,949,000 square feet. Councilman Weiner?
Thank you. This is a very uncontentious matter. I know you've never heard about this before. It's a proposal by the Stoltz Organization. This proposal, I believe, is not opposed, to the best of my knowledge, by anyone. This compromise was negotiated by Citizens for Responsible Growth, CRG, with the Stoltz Organization, which has a corporate name which escapes me.
Greenville
Center Associates. And in place of a 12-story building in the back left quarter, instead there would just be a two-story building. So instead of looming over the scenic and historic corridor, it would be consistent with not only the immediate community, Greenville Manor, but also with the larger community at large, consistent with both federal and state designations. On the front right corner, part of the compromise, which is the part the community wasn't real happy about, was putting a building, presumably to become a bank, at the corner of Buck Road and Kennett Pike. However, that was part of the compromise, and I've heard nothing from anyone that they're opposed to this compromise becoming a record plan approved by council tonight. And with that, unless other council members have anything to say, I'll turn it over to council.
Okay, we have Councilman Sheldon has joined us and Councilman Hollins. Anything from council? Okay, do you want your representative of the company to speak on this? Councilman?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Okay. Thank you.
I thought I was going to get away with not seeing anything, which I know would have made you all very happy. John Tracy from Young Conaway, Stargardt and Taylor. Mr. Weiner kind of hit on the highlights. I know the notice says that it's 35,000 plus or minus square feet being added. It's actually roughly 19,000 square feet that's being added to the site, because an existing building that's approximately 16,000 square feet is being removed and being replaced with a 28,000 square feet building, both of which two stories in height. The other additional square footage comes from the building that's located at the corner, which is approximately 3,700 square feet, and the squaring off of the existing building in the lower right-hand corner of the plan, which is about another 3,400 square feet. Went through the delta process. There were no level of service issues associated with this plan before or after the square footage improvements. We made some entrance modifications to add designated left and right instead of one combined on Buck Road. The other part is in working with the neighbors, and at the urging of the legislators, we added a sidewalk connection from the entrance of Greenville Manor, which is up about right here, to the Buck Road entrance for the shopping center, so that they can walk. They've been walking currently, but without benefit of a sidewalk. We're making a few interconnection improvements to the existing sidewalk along the front, as well as expanding the existing bus pad that's located on the front of the building. As Mr. Weiner indicated, we've had the support of CRG, which includes the Kennett Pike Association, from the beginning on this. here in case there are any questions on some restrictions that they asked to be imposed were actually imposed as part of the Board of Adjustment process. So there are actually notes on the record plan that were generated by that approval back in 2011. So with that, we're happy to answer any questions.
Councilman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. John, are you able to say whether or not that front right corner is going to be a bank or not?
I would say that's the likely use. It's restricted against most other uses that one would think could fill a building such as that, such as fast food, gas station, convenience store, and things like that. You can tell from the layout that's clearly what it's designed for.
And John, you noted that the improvement, the upper right corner with a left out lane and a right out lane, as you know, that backs up next to Janssen's, because people want to try to get out of their parking spots next to Janssen or on the other side of the parking lot, just lock up that whole intersection. So anything that can be done to ameliorate that backup of traffic coming in or out is greatly appreciated.
That was partially the intention of having the dual turns. Previously, there was just one lane there from which both left and rights would be made. Now there's two turns.
Now, that sidewalk along the north edge of Buck Road, does that go beyond Greenville Manor?
It connects with the entrance to Greenville Manor.
Okay.
Which is back here, probably a few hundred more feet.
All right. And I know the geometry, everything has to be tucked in pretty tightly. What are the improvements you're doing in terms of filling in the missing gaps along the sidewalk on both Buck Road and Kennett Pike?
Kennett Pike, I believe, is fully sidewalked along our frontage, as you can see. I'll defer to Steve Davies, who's sitting behind me from Apex, as to whether there are any additional improvements along Buck Road.
Steve Davies from Apex Engineering. We are also extending the, currently the sidewalk comes about 50% of the way down Buck Road in front of the frontage, and we're extending it the remainder of the way along the frontage of the property, and then, as John said, down to the residential subdivisions.
Yes. I just want to comment for the members of council, the Brandywine Valley Scenic Star Corridor will be looking to bring ecotourism to our area. It'll be good for our whole economy. And so the opportunity to enjoy the area without a car, by bicycle or pedestrian, staying in bed and breakfast, it's really, as we go through each of these segment developments over the decades, it's important to synergistically find opportunities to enhance the pedestrian and bicycle experience. So I'm pleased to see that change. Bicycle doesn't fit, one size doesn't fit all, as Councilman Street and I have spoken about before. But this area really will work for all of us. I also just wanted to thank CRG and Bill Rowe, one of the board members, and Kenneth Pike Association, Bill Rowe, one of the board members, and Greenville Manor, Bill Rowe, one of the board members, for their hard work over these last 5 years.
Okay, Co-Chair Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Tracy, I guess you've spoken a little bit about public transportation here, because we definitely want people to be livable, walkable, healthy. Can you expand on that a little bit? What efforts are you doing to actually bring public transportation here? And what do you have out there on Kennett Pike? I mean, you've talked about the Buck Road over there and extending the sidewalk. What are you going to do over here? And I see a lot of parking. You're going to have bicycle racks and everything internally? And
Yes, we are going to have bicycle racks internally. There is already sidewalk along the entire frontage. We're adding all down here. We're adding internal connection sidewalks to that sidewalk from our parking lot. There's an existing bus facility in this area that we're expanding with a larger pad. Bus service already extends out to this area.
So runs there frequently and often?
I'm not sure what the timing of it is. It's controlled by DART.
Okay, how about, you got a very dense site here. I mean, what are you doing for stormwater controls?
I'll have Mr. Davies get up and address that.
Thank you. They got the plan upside down.
Yeah. Existing, there's an underground facility here.
Underground, okay.
Yes. And there are stormwater quality features throughout the site. We're also going to do a new underground facility in this area as well.
So you're engaging some new technology here.
It's one of the standard green technologies that's used today.
I didn't know how much we'd used it. I know we talked before a little bit about it, and obviously the clogging of the impervious surface that actually wasn't let the what are actually permanent in there, but hopefully, you know, a lot of those issues have been worked out.
It's not...
flawable, but...
it's underground storage facilities, basically pipes that are underground in storage. And
so you'll collect it on the sides or whatever, and then you'll funnel it over. I see what you're
some
saying.
Of it will infiltrate, some of it will be stored.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilor Cartier?
What underground storage product are you going to use? Is it StormTech?
Yes.
Okay. That seems to be very common, retrofitting these old sites with the underground storage. Yeah. And then it allows infiltration over time. Where does it infiltrate to over time?
It'll infiltrate into the soil.
Okay.
So, and then when there's a larger storms, it'll be released slowly into the drainage system.
Right. Councilman Packett?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also forgot to ask you, John, just for the benefit of everybody here, would you please take a second and hold up the state strategies map and show us where the project is located and what the area is, just in case anybody in the audience would be interested in that?
Man of many hats, he also is my sidekick and listening to the state strategies map. I'm probably going to ask Mr. Davies to come up here because I don't see it identified up here, but I am 99% sure it is in it is state level one.
Kenny Pike, that's Kenny Pike.
Right in here.
Right in there.
The finger of level. Because again, remember, the center obviously exists now with approximately 140,000 square feet. It's an increase, an overall increase of about 19,000 square feet on top of that. I'm trying not to decapitate Mr. Rowe as I return this.
In that case, I'll take it.
Any other questions from council? Anything from the public?
So we put that to bed.
Yep. Excuse me. Mr. Chair. Bill Rowe, did you want to say anything on behalf of the community?
I offered his comments, not because I wanted to speak for him, but just in the interest of time.
Oh, okay.
Perfectly happy to report he's here because CRG and the other entities support the project, and I thought it'd be best if he needed to speak at only one.
That's good. That's on the record. Yeah.
Okay, anything from the public? All right, moving on.
Wow.
Second is to amend the declaration of restrictions for the property known as Limestone Medical Center, located at 941 Limestone Road, Mill Creek Hunter, tax parcel number 08-044-40138, is to permit additional parking, which is under my sponsorship. And we have Larry Tarabicos for the Limestone Medical Center, and Jeff Ross. Would you like to say something?
Sure, thank you. Even though I'm old now, but Mr. Tack and Mr. Redda told me I have to learn how to use PowerPoint, so here we go. No plans, no
easels. You have a pointer?
PowerPoint. I've got a pointer.
Okay.
And Mr. Boyle's got it. So I represent Limestone Medical Center. Frank DiGregorio is here with us. He is the building manager for all of the doctors that own the medical center. And Jeff Ross and Will Mather from Duffield have been working on this project for the last year and a half with me. So if you can you go to the next? This is, maybe if you flip to the next one, Jim, next one. There you go. This entire discussion is about this area right here. This area that's in dark gray is what this entire discussion is about. The request is to change deed restrictions, and I'll explain why that's being required, in order to put 29 parking spaces out here along Limestone Road. Can we go back to the prior plan, Jim? Just quickly, maybe the one right before that. Thanks. If you look here, this area here, you'll see this line was the old building setback line. And what we're talking about doing is taking paving out to that setback line. That's all, just to fill in that gap. This is the original record, not the original, the second, the applicable record plan for the property. And the background of this is that Limestone Medical Center had this property rezoned in 1984, and this building here was built. Could you go to the colored plan, Jim? Thanks. This building was built. And then in 1990, so 23 years ago, we added this 10,000 square foot addition. At the time that this was added, there were deed restrictions entered into that said nothing that's open space or green, the buffers next to the neighbors, this large buffer and storm management area that's a very large green area, this buffer here, nothing that was green could be changed without approval of county council. In my opinion, I don't believe that this little sliver here that should have been paved but wasn't, was intended to be covered there, but nonetheless, the wording covered it. So in order to put those 29 parking spaces here, we've had to go through this process. So that's why we're here. There was an ill-advised request about a year and a half ago. I was not involved. The different engineers, Duffield was not involved, but the medical center had received bad advice to put parking back in here. And the residents were opposed to it. Board of Adjustment actually approved it, but the Planning Board and Land Use recommended denial of that. And that's when they came to me, and we discovered that there was this sliver of ground out here that could accommodate 29 parking spaces. This plan back here was to add 50 spaces. We can't add 50, but we can find room for 29. And so that's why we're here today. You'll probably hear from some people that we don't need parking, but if you read the documents, it's pretty settled by now. Even members of the Land Use Department have gone out to the property and have said that when they visited the property, there were more patients than parking spaces. We had a four-day study done by Duffield Associates, and they determined that there was clearly not enough parking. We had residents of the community, patients of the facility, managers of medical practices all come to the planning board hearing and say that there's never enough parking. I've personally been there a dozen times, and there's never enough parking. And they need parking. And as the Department of Land Use said very clearly, this is a viable, successful business, and if you can add 29 parking spaces and only have no impact, if at all a negligible impact, then there's no reason not to approve this. Jim, could we flip forward to those videos? I took a couple of videos just to show you. They're like 15 seconds long at most, if they'll work. This was two separate days that I was out there. I wanted to show you the area that we're talking about. No. Well, while Jim's figuring that out, let me just
go tell for you. Help.
Got it? Well, this is separate. Okay. Well, Jim will figure it out, and if not, we'll look at it tonight. But just so that the council understands, since
it will work on the equipment tonight, that's already
okay. I just wanted to show council the area out along Limestone Road. It's, you know, obviously a heavily traveled road where we're talking about adding these parking spaces, and also just so you can see for yourself what the parking lot looks like on a normal day basis every single day. So that's what the request is. Just to be clear, since 1990, there have been a lot of medical advances, technical advances, so that doctors can see more patients each day. Also, health insurance, not surprisingly now, requires that doctors see more patients each day. So it's been increased since 1990, and there's a clear need for additional parking. So that's all that this is about. It's a request to amend the restrictions in order to allow the area in the front to be paved and add 29 parking spaces. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, before we go, like you say, the Councilman Bell has joined us. Councilman Weiner.
Yes, Larry. Is there any berming or buffering enhancement?
Yes. Well, one of the things that's being done, I don't want to make Jim go back now if he's let him work on the videos, but on the site plan, there is going to be additional landscaping added throughout this area in particular and in the front. There is also, and it was pointed out by the community, a lot of the landscaping that was required by the 1990 record plan has disappeared, died. Some of the neighbors didn't want some of the trees there. They've been removed, they haven't been replaced. We've committed to, obviously not that you have to commit, to comply with the record plan and return the landscaping to be consistent with what was approved in 1990. But there are additional enhances. We have a plan that we can show you if you want to see it, but and perhaps Will or Jeff can talk more about it if you'd like to know more about it. But yeah, we're adding to the landscaping beyond what is required by the record plan or the UDC.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilman Cartier?
What is the subdivision name that it backs up to?
Clare Estates.
Clare Estates.
And just to be clear, Mr. Cartier, the homes are here and here and here. This is another road. This is Sandy Drive. And there are homes here. And there are homes in the back. So I believe it was understandable that the community did not want the parking area expanded into this area. This is a major part of what they bargained for. And so coming up with the idea of adding this area of parking in the front made a lot more sense.
Any other questions from council? Anything from the public?
Hello, my name is Paul Jones. I'm the president of the Civic Association for Clare Estates. And we oppose these parking, this additional parking here. We've opposed it the entire time that we've been going through this process, and this is my first time. I'm new at being a public servant, I'll say. So we've been going through this process, and sounds like a good idea. This sounds great. There are restrictions on the property that bind Newcastle County and Clare Estates together, according to 1941 Limestone Road. On the 1984 document, page 2, it clearly spells out in black and white, Clare Estates is specifically to benefit from any deed restrictions in place on this property. Now, Mr. Tarabikas fails to tell you that because this project sounds good. It sounds like it's a winner. So, I've been told this entire time that we should compromise, ask for something. We just want the property to remain the way it is, the way it was, the way it should have been in 1984 with 183 trees on that property. Today there are less than 80. There are 100 trees short from where they should be right now. We have offered a compromise. It was later in this week, which is included in that packet there, with 8 specific requirements that we were hoping to have fulfilled so that we could compromise and have this property go through. Because they can use parking spaces. I've done separate counts myself. My wife has too. Now, we're not Duffield Associates. We're not contractors who go out and do this daily. Yet we drive through. We live through there. Okay, there was a meeting we had a month ago with Larry Tarabikas. He walked in. He said, there's 4 parking spots out front. He passed by the 40 that I counted that day. It was 95 degrees outside. I walked the entire parking lot. There's 40 plus parking spots out front. Now, I know that quite a few people complain quite often about parking at this location. People who work there, who walk up a set of steps, get to their office late, they're going to complain, oh, I had to park way in the back. I had to park way in the front. Patients, sick people, when I'm sick, I complain. You can ask my wife, I complain all the time. There are requirements that we were hoping within this last week that I gave to Frank there to compromise to have this parking go through. If these 8 solutions would be completed, we would give it our blessing and go forward and say thank you very much. Okay. A number of these conditions have direct impact with residents who actually have voiced their opinions to me about the property. One is located at 2001 Limestone Road, which is on this drawing. It's at the top of the drawing on Limestone Road on the top left. Her property, Mrs. Brock, she had a number of trees out front of her house. Her daughter's bedroom window is right there at the entranceway. Those trees have since been cut down for whatever reason, if they died, deceased, whatever. It's hard to believe that 100 trees have died in the span of 20 years, which actually the date draws back to 1984 for the landscape drawing. You can clearly see when you drive through, if her window was open, you can clearly see through there. So I have asked for 3 sections of 6-foot tall vinyl fence. Now, I spoke to Frank the other day from Limestone Medical Center, and he said they just installed at, I believe it's two neighbors down. They've installed a wooden fence along the back. Wooden fence to match that would be fine. Okay. The Johnsons, who live across the street on the south side of that drawing there, on Shady Avenue, have a very large mature tree, one of the only trees that's the stature that it is right now, to actually have an arborist come and trim it up to help with droppings on his vehicles and things like that. I don't think that's too much to ask. On the Shady Street Drive, which is also, again, at the top, the addresses of 4518, 4520, 4522, and 4524 have a drainage problem in the back of this property, of their properties. I believe in part due to the berm, which is on the back end of the building for the water retention pond. I have a drawing here. Duffield Associates, through Larry Terapikas, says that there is no drainage problem. In this drawing with Duffield Associates here, I think you guys perhaps may remember this drawing here.
Yes,
you guys.
Okay,
good. So I just want to make sure that this is what we have here. So we have proposed catch basins and swales down these very same addresses. These backyards fill with water. They steadily run down the street, down the back of the neighborhoods, right where they want to put two new catch basins, or wanted to put two new catch basins back during the old project back a year and a half ago. So I asked for some type of relief for those water problems that exist for those neighbors. I don't think we should go into the berm or through that way. I think something with some stonework coming through to the front towards the curb, it'll run right down the street, relieve this issue. Where else am I?
Right.
Yeah, and apparently, we also asked for the current hours to remain the same from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., which I believe is actually 1 hour later than normal for their hours of operation. I don't think it's too much to ask that with you're inside of a neighborhood for a medical center to operate those hours. And as a matter of fact, a lot of this could be alleviated if some of these doctors on renting these properties would actually expand their hours just a little bit, stagger out some of the congestion that's being caused. Now, since we are a neighborhood for the entire association, I asked for 5 years worth of snow removal to be incorporated into the plan. I don't think it's too much to ask. We spent an average of 3 years, we spent an average of $918 on snow removal. That's through the DelDOT plan for reimbursement. Last year we spent zero. 3 years previous was an average of $918. I don't think that's too bad. I also asked for a new playground. We are very far behind on the county's playground equipment. And we took a look at one over at Milltown Park. There's a number of them around, it's just one we picked out. And I have talked to Chris Natron. He said we're probably a year or two down the road from having a new park put in, a new playground. So I think to relieve taxpayer money a little bit, and you know, help healthy kids who someday hopefully don't have to go to the doctor as often as possible, we could have a playground put in. Then we also asked to have the 86 landscape plan to have all the trees replaced back where they should be, and that all previous restrictions remain intact and in the same, so that we are continuing with the county to have support with this. We're a working community. We're a working community, and we're retirees. We have a lot of retirees. The reason there's nobody standing here behind me is because nobody thinks they can win when they get here. You know, there's nobody else thinks that they can pass this and go through. So if we get these eight stipulations in place, we'd be more than happy to sign off and, you know, have a new park. If not, then the community doesn't benefit, as was stated in 1984. As a matter of fact, from the gentlemen who are sitting in the picture right above Larry Terapikas right now. So I think it's pretty fair. We're talking about doctors who are working within our neighborhood.
Councilwoman Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple of questions. As we go through these requests, you said number one that they've already approved, correct? the fencing?
Yes.
Okay. Can you show me on this map where 4526 Sandy Drive is?
4526 Sandy Drive is approximately right here. It is, I believe, the second home in.
Okay. And show, can you show me on there where the 4518, 20, 22, and 24 are?
I believe we're looking at 1234 or 1234 back here.
Okay. Hours were the same. When you asked for snow removal,
correct.
The only snow removal that I would assume that they are doing is internal to the site, because the only entrance to this is off of Limestone Road, which is an arterial or whatever. At any rate, it's done through DelDOT. It's not a private contractor.
Private contractor handles
inside
the medical center
inside their
and
property.
We hire our own. Correct.
Right, because you have, but you have no, you have no internal connection to this
property.
Correct. Okay. Playgrounds, that's a county issue that they, you know, kind of rotate on improving, and I know they've been doing quite a few of those recently. Landscaping screen, and okay. I remember several years ago, I worked for Representative Meyer when this was, the addition was being proposed, and I remember going through a discussion with the community, because the people on Sandy Drive were upset that the patients would always park on Sandy Drive when they couldn't find just any place to other park, and that they would come and go, come and go, come and go. So if I'm remembering correctly, there was a deal with the residents on Sandy Drive and the Civic Association that said that the employees would park on Sandy Drive so that it would be come in at 8 o'clock in the morning and not leave till 5 in the afternoon or whatever, but there would be like 8 hours of parking rather than the come and go that an individual patient would do.
Okay.
Are they still parking on Sandy Drive?
No. Okay. There was a time period in the past 2 years that people, I think, and patients were asked to park on Sandy Drive. These people started to park all over the grass, all the way down. When it rained, it caused ruts. It was an ugly feature. And when you park on Sandy Drive, it makes it difficult for these people to back out and move down the street. If you have one car in your driveway, you have one car parked in front of your own house, when you have to back out, it's very difficult to get there.
So, but people are parking, so patients are now parking on Sandy Drive, or
no,
is nobody?
That has ceased.
That is done.
Correct.
It's done. Nobody's parking on
Correct.
Sandy anymore.
Correct.
Okay.
It's only residents.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Any other questions to Councilman Weiner?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I'd like to ask for the guidance from our land use department on the thoughts. I don't know where this is procedurally. Mr. Haggerty, are you able to speak on behalf of land use department?
George Haggerty, GM for land use. There's a request for de-restriction change in front of council. It's properly suited, and you get to evaluate the merits of it based on the information that you've got. You have a recommendation from the land use department and from the planning board recommending approval for the change.
Has the land use department taken any position concerning the deed restrictions?
Yeah, we did recommended that the deed restriction be changed without any conditions.
Deed restrictions be changed to this 8?
To this, to the restrictions that allow for these 29 parking spaces to be incorporated
okay.
In this plan.
Did you comment, my guess is your answer is no, but just want to confirm, did you comment on what the community is asking for?
No, I don't think we ever got a copy.
No, actually, that was actually handled last Wednesday, so it was a quick thing to go through, and I have actually gotten a rebuttal stating that they would put $1,000 towards three sections of fence, which in my opinion is quite expensive to have someone put four posts in the ground, $5,000 towards a reimbursement for county park, and I believe $1,200 for, there was one other one there, for an arborist to help clean up the large tree here on Shade.
Just to give you the full breadth of the conversations that we've had,
yes.
This is the second application that has been to the department. First application situated the parking, the extra parking to the rear, which was more infringement upon the community itself. We recommended denial, as did the planning board recommend denial, and that application went nowhere else. Next application came through, situated the parking to the front, orientated to Limestone Road, with some screenings and some of the things that this gentleman has talked about in terms of, and Mr. Tarvik has talked about in terms of some additional landscaping and things of this nature. Mm-hmm. And we opined that it was proper to do as to the planning board.
Mm-hmm. A legal perspective, and although I'm an attorney, I'm not wearing my attorney's hat, but from my understanding of the law, the deed restrictions are considered voluntary assurances, and they have to be voluntarily offered up by the applicant. And certainly, the community and the applicant can have discussions if they're only for the benefit of the community and not endorsed or accepted by the land use department, then the land use department would necessarily stay out of that. County government officials, we have a duty to avoid what's called contract zoning, where we put preconditions on our approval. Having said that, there's a delicate balance. If you're having communications with the owner and their representatives, and they're willing to voluntarily, then we can. They're certainly willing to approve the deed restrictions, but we have limited ability to sort of jump in with our own feet, if you will, and get involved in negotiations. From what I understand, there have been some back and forth, and you know, some of the conditions have been accepted and some have not. I'm not sure that it would be appropriate for us to become involved in those negotiations between the parties directly.
I completely understand that, and if I'm not mistaken, as I read that paperwork, I don't expect the county to get involved other than if negotiations don't go in the direction that the neighborhood benefits from, as it specifically states there, that the parking is a no-go. That's why it was installed, to protect the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Not so that down the road we can just go and do whatever we want. I mean, it's been 23 years. Now, in five more years, what if they want to add on to this building? Then there's no more. Who's to stop that? I'm sorry, not everyone in this room may be in the same seat that they're sitting today, and another group is going to come up. There's going to be another lawyer who's studying up there. Why? You're going to come down here, excuse me, is going to come down here and be like, yeah, here's what we can do. Here's the next game plan. And there's some kid up there doing that right now. You know, I want to keep everything in check. We're a neighborhood. We're just a neighborhood.
Yeah. You know? Mr. Chairman, may I make another observation? I want to commend you as a leader for entering into this. This is certainly not your normal experience, and you've done a good job of putting together a list and being a leader, and I know this has taken a lot of your time. I would be surprised if the owner of that shopping center would want to build a park that the county is planning to build in a couple of years, and I'd be surprised if they would pay for your snow removal, but if so, that's fine. I don't want to give up. You may want to consider negotiating, continue negotiations, and talk to your councilman as well about tabling, but I don't want to put, it's up to him, and you have to understand that there are certain limitations of all we have. Sure. That's all I'm going to say.
Councilman Cardia?
Yes. I too would like to compliment you on your presentation. You're doing a great job for your community. I think some of these demands in here really fall outside of what we really want to be involved in. Some of them, however, you know, are relevant to the site and your quality of life. I would just like to ask the lawyer for the applicant to comment on your response to some of these demands so we're clear about where these things might be standing right now.
Would you like me to do that right now?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, we received this last Wednesday. So again, my experience, my practice has always been on every single project, we make improvements to roads, we make improvements to parks, we make contributions to communities, we do things that are commensurate with what you're asking for. So what are we asking for? Revenue, right, to not to build buildings, not to build space, not to add income, not to do anything that really benefits other than to add 29 parking spaces. So what's commensurate with that? What's fair? And to continue to be a good neighbor. Should we trim a tree that's too big? Sure, we're going to trim the tree. Should we put up some fencing? We're going to put up some fencing. Should we hire our engineers to take a look at the drainage issue? Yeah, we've already committed to have Duffield look at the drainage issue. Now, the plan that Mr. Jones showed you before was related to putting parking in that green area in the back that could have created some drainage towards there. So we said, well, we'll do some catch basin. So we're not doing that now. So I don't know what that's going to result in, but we're going to have Duffield, and they're the best at doing that stuff. We're going to have them look at it. Are we going to pay for your snow removal? No. And finally, I found it offensive to even ask. Are we going to pay? Well, this is where the doctors, frankly, impressed me, and the doctors, Dr. Andrasani especially, said, no, I'm happy to, you know, we might want a little plaque at the park, but if we're happy to kick in $5,000 towards playground equipment. We don't have to. I didn't think it was appropriate for them to agree to that, but they've agreed to. We'll be good neighbors, and if we can contribute for actual money spent to put some equipment in the playground, we'll agree to that. Which one I meant? Hours of operation? Well, we can't change our hours of operations. Go ahead, Tom.
I wonder if you could comment on the 1986 landscape plan.
Right. Well, it's really not. It's the 1990, because can we put that plan back up? The 1990 record plan superseded the 1986, but it's not significantly different. The landscaping that's required should be there, and we're going to do that. We've committed to that. Absolutely, I committed that at the planning board. But just so we're clear, the doctors aren't out there at night cutting trees down because they don't like them. Trees died, trees have gone away, and more importantly, there's neighbors that have complained about trees, so they've been removed. But if we're not, listen, I'm as angry about that as the community is. If we're not in compliance with the record plan, I don't want that. We got to be in compliance with the record plan. We've committed to do that. So we're going to do that. I think our response, and the doctors handled it, frankly, I gave them some input, it's been more than reasonable, the response here. And with respect to the parking, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, it was the former president of the Civic Association who instructed them to have their employees park there. And then at the planning board hearing last year, they got, you were probably there, Councilman Smiley, they got yelled at by Art Wilson, Bill McGlinchey, were very adamant about, why are you telling your people to park? And Mr. Hudson wasn't at that hearing to clarify why that was happening. And so my first job when I accepted representation was to say, you got to tell people to stop parking in the people's neighborhood. I wasn't even aware until Mr. Hudson came to a hearing and he said, wait a minute, I'm going to take the heat. I'm the one that told them to park their employees there because there's not enough parking for patients. But that's been discontinued. Nobody parks there anymore. All the more reason why we need parking.
Councilman Cartier?
Just a final comment to Mr. Jones. Sounds like you got these folks agreeing that 70-80% of what your demands are. I look at this as, instead of having parking intrude closer into the neighborhood in the rear of the property, we're going on a busy road, Limestone Road. So I'm seeing, you know, and it's not as many spaces as 50, it's 29. So I think in the spirit of, you know, good sense and compromise and maintaining quality of your neighborhood, I mean, this to me makes a lot of sense personally. And I want to thank you for organizing your demands and your concerns in a comprehensive way that, you know, we can look at. And I appreciate you coming out and advocating for your community.
Mm-hmm. Councilman Street?
I think we're coming real close with the council in the position of negotiating. The parties want to negotiate, let them negotiate. But unless we're ready to assign an arbitrator or make some decision and intervene, I think we should stay out of it.
Councilman Bell?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I would also agree with Councilman Street. I think that when you look at some of the items on here, they're clearly outside the scope of what we're being asked as a council to review based upon the recommendation of land use. I am familiar with the property. I have been to that medical facility before. And I think that when you're adding 29 parking spots on the Limestone roadside, and everything, I think it will help to serve and support a very vibrant medical community business that's been there for years. You know, part of our job is to take a look at not only the community, and we do take a look at the community, but also the fact of, from a standpoint of sustaining jobs here in New Castle County and sustaining the folks that patronize medical facilities, shopping centers, and different properties. So I think as part of our responsibility is to look, is this a viable solution to add 29 parking spots in an area that is not intrusive to the community. Councilwoman Kilpatrick brought up about where the entranceways come in and out and everything. And but it goes back to the point that I think what's on this paper, the majority of this is far outside the scope of what this council is being asked to do as far as approving a deed restriction to add 29 parking spots and based upon the recommendation of land use. So I'm going to try to stay focused on the deed restriction, how this will help improve the services there for the folks that patronize or are sent to that medical facility, as well as if the applicant is willing to work with the community and work on some things to help with the community, I think that's great. But far outside the scope of what we're being asked to do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Jones, I too commend you. I mean, I can tell you're nervous up there. You know, obviously you're not doing this every day. And ultimately, at the end of the day, your community needs to be proud of you. You know, regardless of what happens here, you brought a list forward. Change, you're either going to grab change as it's passing you by or you're going to sit there and let it pass you by. And he obviously did not do that. You know, you definitely populated a list here of concerns that you've seen as that president of that community. I know for a fact you have a very engaged council person over there. I remember him talking to me about this plan months ago, you know, as a co-chair of this committee. You've heard from some other council members, and when we look at this plan, we have to look at it on the merits of the plan, you know, obviously. And as you've heard from some of us, you know, some of these things are somewhat out of the scope of what we could be asked to do or even look at here. Actually, probably all of them are, but you are, and by every right, you know, can bring these forward and engage the applicant with these. And seems like they've, you know, as the other councilman mentioned, you know, pretty much given you the lion's share of these. So when we look at a plan here that's adding no more square footage, no more offices, it's going to be the same. However, it's creating a hardship on the patrons that are coming here every day to engage these doctors that could add some more parking that could make it a little bit easier for them to get into what's already there existing. It does seem like a pretty viable option, you know, that we would be looking at here. So again, regardless of what happens tonight, you did a damn good job, you know, for your community. You brought these forward, and you just didn't sit there and let it happen. So,
I don't want to say one more thing. I'm not asking any council members or anyone here to rule and say, yes, they have to do this, or no, they don't have to do anything. Just stating that what proposal that we had stepped forward with, because if we don't ask for something, then we don't get anything. As the former Civic Association president just said, go ahead. Put that parking in the rear and no big deal. Well, I think when I read those papers, you know, we should benefit somehow, some way from that. And in my opinion, I would actually ask that since one or two of those were actually turned down, I would hope that you would table this so that I can get another conversation going with the medical center on the drainage issue in the back, because it does exist, and it exists because of the berm that is there. And if that one can be worked out, if anything else can be worked out before a final ruling is done, I would appreciate it.
Councilman Holland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that there's also a precedent here that I'm concerned about. And we see this more and more, not just because of this particular application. And I would agree with my colleagues that Mr. Jones has done a great job in looking out for the benefit of this community. But also feel that the medical center is a part of this community as well. It has been there since 1984, I believe. And to suggest now that somehow the medical center is extraneous to the community, I think is the wrong view. I mean, it has evolved along with the community for all these years. And the fact that the applicants have tried in the past is obviously that more parking is needed. However, I think the board, as well as the department, agreed that the first application for 50 more parking spaces was not appropriate. I think that showed some protection for your interest. Now that the medical center has gone back again with only 29 parking spaces, and even though you have a list of 8 here, I'm not so certain where we weigh in on those 8. Me personally, I don't feel comfortable with county council interjecting itself with any negotiation between any community and any developer. It's just not the appropriate place for us to be. And my concern is that if we start that, when do we end that? I mean, the next list may be 16 things that communities feel that they need or should have. I just don't think it's our role to be there. And I wish you well in your discussions with the applicant, but it's just not our place to be, and you can imagine we've spent the last half an hour here talking about this, and it could be two more of the same kind of applicants on, and then we would do the same thing tonight, spending hours of time on subject matter that's not really our jurisdiction. And I don't think it serves you well, serves the applicant well, or serves Newcastle County government well. I think the word should go out to all of the communities that certain negotiations that take place between the community and the applicant, that's the appropriate place for that to happen. And some of the things here, in my opinion, have no real relevance to the 29 parking spaces, just some things that the community feels that they need or they want, and now's a good time to ask for them. I just think it's a dangerous place for us to be.
Okay, well, can I add, since there is only one entrance and exit into that community, into the medical center, patients and employees alike cut through the neighborhood each and every day. Run right around here. They avoid everything on Kirkwood and Limestone intersection and everything else. They come right up Old Capitol Trail, come right around. Same very people who use that medical center use the streets in our neighborhood. And the neighborhood benefits in general from something such as snow removal. That's the only thing I could come up with that the entire community could benefit from other than, you know, an individual item. That's not there.
Councilwoman Diller?
It's not yet 7:30.
Councilwoman?
Let me just comment about that. Having worked with DelDOT for many years, those streets within Clare Estates are dedicated to public use. And absolutely anybody that chooses to ride on them has the ability to ride on them. That puts them into the state maintenance system. They get taken care of for you. If it was a private road, you would have all of the responsibility, but also the control on who can go through there. So this body certainly is not one that does transportation. That's a state issue. But understanding that it's a state issue, well, these are state roads.
And the train that is...
Anything else from council? Since this is in my district, and I've been sitting here listening, about a year and a half ago, Chrissy and I went down and had a meeting with the Limestone Medical Center, and then they, after that, probably the next Clare Estates meeting, they were there, and Larry Tarabico's mentioned about how the plan was then, and I was against it then because they were going to make the retention area in the back smaller, and they were going to put, I think, 51 parking spots somewhere around there, and I said that was a little stupid. Because the retention area, if you're going to make it smaller, what are you going to do? Are you going to make it deeper? How are you going to do it? And they said, no, we're just going to leave it like it is. We're just going to make it smaller. So I said, well, that's a dumb plan. And I right away called the special services up, and I voiced my complaint about it. And since then, Larry Tarabico's got involved, and the plan was changed, as he mentioned. The parking is now in the front. Retention area in the back is going to be cleaned out and looked at. And the new retention area in the front that has the underground in it, actually it'll be 2% for a regular heavy rain better, be 2% better, and 5% on a 100-year storm. So it'll be holding the water, and it has an area in there where they can get in and clean it out, which we inspect every year, the county, because they paid for this. So that has to be looked at every year in case of any failure or anything. So I just wanted to let you know how I feel about it. And as far as the negotiations of the Civic Association and the Medical Center, the last meeting I went to, they were asked to, the Civic Association was asked to, by the applicant, to voice their opinion on what they would like to have and what they didn't want, other than the obvious of today. And I received it last Wednesday, I believe it was, the notification that you have right there in front of you now. So that was over a month ago that meeting was. And we had it at the Limestone Medical Center. And I believe Carol Doolin had her hand on it.
Yes, Carol Doolin, Council. I just wanted to point out somewhat of an anomaly in the earlier 1984 deed restrictions, which I did speak to Mr. Terabicos about. They do state that they are for the benefit of the county and for the Clara State Civic Association or the successor to that association. However, they also state that it's only the county council who is involved in the amendment of the restrictions.
Any other questions on this? Anything from the public? Okay, moving on. We have to rename a segment of the street recorded to Old South DuPont Highway, located between SR 7 and Twin Lane Road,
back here working,
to the Love of Christ Church Way.
Back here working,
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This particular renaming request has been reviewed by our land use department as well as our emergency services. I know for a fact, in dealing with the leadership of the church, that they have communicated with the residents in that area, and we have received no adverse or objection in this particular change to be completed and everything. So I will be recommending and asking for council support tonight for the renaming of this segment of road.
Perfect.
Any questions to Councilman Bell? Guess not, there might not. Anything from the public on this? Okay, moving on. We have ordinance number 13-067. It's to revise chapter 7 to Newcastle County Code, also known as property maintenance. Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, cut right to the chase. I'll just read the synopsis into the record for everyone. This ordinance amends the Chapter 7 Property Maintenance Code by creating a 120-day temporary permit with the possibility of one 30-day extension that will allow for one unregistered vehicle to be stored at an owner's primary residence outside of a fully enclosed permanent building where the vehicle is otherwise in good condition. It does not qualify as an oversized vehicle and is stored on a hardened surface. A sunset provision requires council review 1 year following adoption. This is similar to substitute 2 to ordinance number 11-003, which council passed in 2011, was sent to the administration, was vetoed. I will tell you, it's a matter of public record. I personally did not support that ordinance at that time because I thought the time frame that was allowed was more than I could agree with. So the total this allows is 150 days. I did send several revisions and meet with land use and code enforcement to reach something that they could work with. It would be up to them to come up with the fee for the permit and the permit process. I tried to work through the state first because I felt that's who should handle expired vehicles. I tried for over 3 years to get them to move something. It hasn't happened. I can tell you one of the promptings behind this is I have personal knowledge and involvement in a situation where an individual passed away. As he passed away, the only thing they owned was 3 vehicles, none of which were registered. Right. So that went to the family. The family had to move those vehicles from the rental property where the individual lived. They had to find a place to store them, and under Delaware law, it was a minimum of 30 days before they could do anything to try to move those vehicles. And they weren't, let's say, they looked okay, but they weren't of the point, and the family did not have the means to put them through the inspection, pay to have insurance on them, just so they could end up selling them. So there are situations. I did a brief search of the code cases countywide and on inoperable vehicles, and given the code violation, the extensions, the tickets, there are quite a few out there now that are 6 months and ongoing. So this would at least, hopefully, they would either go into the code enforcement if they didn't register. If they did register, the county would at least have a working record of where they are. So that's where it is, and it's either up or down.
I got a question on it. Under Title 21 of the state code that we adopt, the vehicle has to be operable, and what that means is it has to have headlights, has to have windshield, it has to be street-worthy. So with that, in this ordinance that you're having, does that take that out? To, in other words, that car has to be street-worthy to what you're saying?
It says, just let me read it again. Where the vehicle must otherwise in good condition and does not cause, so appearance wise it would have to appear in good condition.
But
I know what you're talking about. Ironically, if you look around at what you're seeing new inspection stickers on, I gotta wonder if the state's doing it. But yeah, it would have to, by physical appearance, it would have to have the windows, the windshield, and all that. Otherwise it would fall under the code.
Councilman Taggart?
Just a couple brief comments, and I had sent something to Councilman Smiley already about it that,
I appreciate that.
I wouldn't be supporting this tonight. We did send this out to our whole community that we had emails for to let them know it was coming up to get the feedback on it, and all but about three emails come back in opposition. They stated things from like parking is a huge commodity in the townhome communities, your condos, associations like that, where there isn't much parking already, and this would create more of a hardship on them. There was a reference made and to some of it about military. One whole troop or something responded back to me and said, listen, if you want to pass this, you pass it, but don't use us as the genesis to do it for. Because one, if we are deployed, our bases are make provisions for our vehicles. Two, if we are deployed, we are gone a lot longer than 150 days. And another individual got back and shared some concerns about, and also the military said, and if you were worried about the military, why didn't you pass this when we were in war? Why are you waiting until now? I'm just passing that on in my comments. And also, another individual got back and was concerned about if the vehicle's there, would it lend itself possibly to being used, if you know, being operable, and very likely if they didn't have the money to tag it, are they maintaining insurance on it? So I think they created a lot of valid points with the feedback that I got from it, and I didn't support the first one, and obviously, you know, given what I've gotten back and what I've heard from them, and the potential issue that could. And then I've also engaged code myself and spoke to them about it before. And if somebody comes to code and can create and show a definite true hardship, code has always been and will continue to be willing to work with the individuals. Now, whether they get 150 days out of it, I don't know. But they certainly would work with them and give them extensions and show the hardships. And if they show that and all, they could certainly continue to get them to a point where they'd force code to have to do something. Another individual said, you know, if you're going to take another 120 days after it expired, why don't you start making plans 120 days before it expires? So, I mean, I'm just passing on the comments that came back to, you know, my district.
I believe we get another question. Councilor Street?
I'll be brief till we get in the fight tonight. This dog ain't humping me the first time, ain't going to hump me tonight. Fact of the matter is, same concerns I had then, had now. Who wants somebody's piece of junk next to their house for almost 6 months? And then you create latitude for all kinds of mischief. Now you got these jackleg mechanics who are going to be having people's cars all up in their driveway on hard services. They just keep fixing them, and we're going to get the complaints. And I won't go through the whole argument that I'm going to make tonight, but, you know, who's going to end up being disenfranchised most? Are communities that have the least, that are active, and generally get the least active enforcement. This is not going to happen in certain neighborhoods, and it's destined to happen and disenfranchise other neighborhoods. So, like I said, this dog ain't hunting for me the first time, ain't going to hunt for me tonight. Will council be the will of council?
Councilman Smiley?
Okay, I want to address a couple things. Number one, Council Street, I don't anticipate a fight tonight. It either goes up or it goes down. Both mine are registered and insured. So that is what it is. Matter of fact, I have a pickup in the driveway that's my mother-in-law's. It's also tagged and insured. So this isn't for me. As far as Councilman Taggart sent an email, I appreciate it. One of your constituents did contact me. We had a very
good exchange of ideas, and I found her to be very understanding. As far as the military, why wasn't it passed before? Should have told them. It was passed in 2011, but it was vetoed. So at least 7 members of council did pass it, and I wasn't one of them then. So as for, I don't understand the townhouse and condo associated people having concerns, because apparently they don't understand where they live, because they have assigned parking spots, they have their own parking spots. So if someone that lives in the townhouse community has had one of these vehicles that registered it, they would be parking it, as it says, on private property, which is their parking spot in front of theirs. So how it's going to take up their parking, that I don't understand any more than now. Other than that, as far as the time frame, as I said, if you take the time, do a little code search through here, you'll find there are ones out there that have been given extensions, been given the fines. There are well over 150 days. It either goes or it doesn't. I'm not looking to argue. I'm not looking to convince anybody. Either passes or doesn't. That's it.
Councilman Cartier.
Just to clarify, in order to get a vehicle in this category, you have to apply for a permit with the Land Use Department.
Yes.
You have to register the vehicle with Land Use,
yes,
and get a permit.
Yep.
You get 150 days with one extension.
You get 120 with one 30-day extension.
120 days, 30-day extension.
Yep.
Okay. And for communities where people are concerned about unregistered vehicles, you know, they could call in code call. The code enforcement folks would have a list, presumably, someplace where they could see if this vehicle's actually fits this category. Does not.
Right.
If it does not, then, you know, it's eligible to be towed, removed.
Well, if someone calls it in, if they haven't applied, then it goes into the code enforcement process immediately. It goes right there. It's not a case where you're going to call and say, hey, you know, you can get a permit. Yeah, that's private. That's up to the individual that has the vehicle.
Okay.
We're not going out shopping for them.
Anything else from council? Councilman Tackett.
I was just going to add, as a council district that has a lot of townhomes, most townhomes are assigned 2 parking spots, and then they have overflow parking. So they are private, just like the driveway is private. So, you know, if you know, a lot of people in the community were to decide, you know, I'm just passing along, like I said.
Councilman Smiley?
Yeah, I'm just saying, the overflow, the additional parking, that belongs to the community. It doesn't belong to the individuals, because I have townhouse, I have plenty of the communities, and they have vehicles towed out of the overflow parking all the time.
Councilman Holmes?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Councilman Smiley, is this a by right permit, or is there some criteria if you were to apply for the permit?
No, you know, the vehicle has to have the, put it this way, based on the language here, the vehicle would have to look better than some that I see that are tagged or running on the road right now. The physical appearance outside, it can't have the windows smashed out of it, flat tires, and that kind of thing. Headlights missing.
Councilman Street.
And it's subject to somebody's judgment. The judgment could be one way one day, a different opinion another day. And with certain folks in the arena right now, it's called arbitrary and capricious.
That's one.
The permit that they have to get from land use, is there a charge for that?
There would be a charge, yes. Land use would be, land use will determine the charge in order to cover the cost, inspection, again.
Anything else from council? Anything from the public? Okay.
Over here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said public.
I was just going to add a little bit. Jim Smith for code enforcement. We did meet with Councilman Smiley, and we gave a lot of suggestions that we thought would make this better. When the first draft went through, it was primarily vetoed because there was unlimited extensions, so that you could just go on and on and on, subject to reapplying with the department. So that was changed, and that was one of the things that was taken out. When the first draft went through, we talked about a nominal charge, probably something like $25 to get the permit, but we'll determine, you know, how much time it would consume and, you know, what a reasonable cost would be for the amount of effort. You would get a placard that would be posted probably just on the dashboard inside the vehicle, but there would be something that if we went by we could see it, it would match up the VIN number, the color, the type of vehicle, so we know it, that goes with, and the permit number that we'll issue, that would coincide with the actual vehicle, so that people can't sort of run up. Another comment that was adopted to this draft was that the only vehicles that can be parked pursuant to a permit are the owner's vehicles parked at the owner's primary residence, so they won't be scattered around the county on other people's properties. It has to be your property, your vehicle, your primary residence. And lastly, going to Council Street's question, we'll actually develop, because it says in here it has to otherwise be able to pass an inspection, a visual inspection at the DMV, other than, you know, paying insurance and getting this that little one square sticker, that this would have a very specific guideline that we would go down our list and say, you know, are any windows broken or any tires flat or, you know, not slashed, and we would actually go through all the categories like they would at the DMV to make sure that you can't otherwise tell the vehicle that it wouldn't be able to pass, you know, other than not having a little decal on the back.
So, now, I ask you a question, Jim, is if you get a permit, how many times can you renew it?
Under this proposed draft, you'd only be able to renew it one time. You get one 30-day extension.
Councilman Taggart?
And Mr. Smith, after the 30-day extension, what would be your venue you would have to exercise if the party did not renew the vehicle?
At the end of the permit, if they can no longer get a new extension or they otherwise fail to permit, in the case of failing a permit, we'd advise them that they can seek a permit. If they fail, we would cite them, and then it would be a ticketable violation, much like it is today. If they exceeded the terms of their permit, we would notify them the permits had expired, give them a reasonable amount of time to get the vehicle registered, or again, it would fall into our ticketable program, and then we could go past the ticketable program to file court charges as we do today for an inoperable unregistered vehicle.
So what would be a reasonable amount of time?
Probably 10 to 20 days. Because by that time, it's been 150 days. And again, we could give an extension based on what it is that needs to be done. If there's something that has to be repaired, for instance, you inherit a vehicle from your father who just deceased, you get one of these permits, now you're at the point where you have to register it. You know, depending on what the problem is, it has to be fixed. We could, you know, work out an extension as we would today for any others. But if we feel that you've had enough time, then we would just proceed to, you know, tickets as we do today.
But could you clarify that though? Because the ordinance says 120 days with one extension. Now you're talking about working with them in. What exactly are you referring to?
Well, if it's a flat tire, it's going to be a very short extension.
Extension of what? Though after the 150 days?
Well, to either remove them off the property, because we would have to give them notice that you're now under the ticketable program.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because here you come in for a permit, now your permit's expired.
Right.
Now we're essentially putting you on notice, as we would from day one, that, listen, you have an inoperable unregistered vehicle on your property because you can't make it otherwise legal through a permit. So you need to now comply, where we'll start a ticketing program with you from day one.
And how do you know what the 120 days is? Is that from the time that the complaint comes in?
It'll be from the day that they pull the permit, because it's the length of the permit, 120 days plus a 30-day extension. That'll be tracked in a Hansen application, and the placard that will be in the car will match the information that the code enforcement officer has, so they should be able to look at it when they come on site.
But the situation I'm referring to is, let's say somebody has one in their driveway, you send them the notice, you got an unregistered vehicle here, you either need to come in and get a permit, you know, now it could have already been sitting there 6 months before the complaint came in, now it's another 120 days on top. So basically from the time you've made aware of it, either by a complaint,
it could be like 142 days, because normally we would cite someone today, we'd give them 12 days, and at the end of that 12 days, you either have, it says 10 under the code, but we generally give about, you know, 12 days. So if we come out, we would say, you don't have a placard, you have an inoperable unregistered vehicle, therefore, that's your first ticket.
See, that's kind of like making the argument. I mean, you basically would have give a little bit of assurance. What you might have said was, after the 150 days, the 151 day, you get a $50 ticket. You wouldn't be another extension. Why would you? You've already gotten it.
But I mean, that could be something the council could do through a substitute or old amendment.
Okay, go ahead.
Quite honestly, with that assumption, 151st day, you get a ticket. I think we're looking back in court to defend the ticket program because they haven't been in the process for the ticket. Right. They're going to go into the code enforcement. And it's no different now. If you look online, if you go to look at the code enforcement, you will find inoperable vehicles still out there waiting for another inspection that have been extended that are beyond 6 months. So I'm saying if they're 150, that's if they go angry, if they don't request the 30 after 120, it's in. It goes into the code enforcement, and you start with the process. You're going to send the 10-day notice or the note. You're going to go out in 10. That's it. But I think to try to ticket the first day, I think we're back in court trying to defend the ticket program again.
Councilor Street.
As presented and as discussed, nothing that prohibits it being one way for the lottie and one way for die. And when it's one way for the lottie and one way for die, who's going to end up getting cussed out is the council person, the council person's aid by the disenfranchised neighbor. Because that's who's going to be angry. The neighbor to the left, the neighbor to the right. And, you know, we want to do this, and forgetting about the people that are adversely affected. The neighbor to the left, the neighbor to the right, the neighbor in front has got to look at. They can just go pound sand. And the problems that we have right now with abandoned vehicles and proliferation of them are in low-income neighborhoods, this just adds on to the misery and opens Pandora's box.
Councilwoman?
I think my question was answered. I wonder what would happen if it was ticketed already.
Well, since I'm the sponsor, I'm going to make the comment. I'll put my involvement, my support, and my constituent work against anybody in this room, and let me know if you find somebody that says, I've told any of my constituents or even implied they could go pack sand.
I didn't say that or nothing like it. If you want to take
you
it
said personal, that would be the inference.
No. If you want to take it personal, you can take it personal.
I am.
Okay? And if your record's better than everybody else's, God bless America.
I didn't say when it was I have, better, but it's when at least I have, equal.
If you do better than everybody else and you do
it's
more than everybody else, then God bless America. But when folks call me and they're complaining and I'm getting cussed out and folks are tongue-lashing me like I'm screaming and howling them, yeah. That's what happens.
I understand. We all get it.
It's a fairness issue. It's a community issue. It's a quality of life issue. It's not an insignificant issue in terms of the people that are adversely affected.
And at least with this,
and
be able
you can
to give
be the
a
greatest
time,
councilman in the world, and we can argue all night. You're not going to change my position.
And
if you
want to
make it personal, you want to make it ugly, that's up to you.
I just take exception to the pound sand comment.
Okay. We're going to move on because we're late. We're 20 minutes late now. Okay, we got ordinance 13018. It's a revised zoning map, Christiana Hunter, east side of Kenneth Pike, and 52 North. Councilman Weiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This property, as you stated, is in Kenneth Pike. It's also in the village of Centerville, a historic settlement. It's a mixed-use village, goes back to the early 1800s. And it's protected on three levels: the National Register of Historic Places, the Historic Overlay Zone, and a Hometown Overlay District with a Centerville Design Review Advisory Committee, or DRAC. I want to commend the applicant for taking a beautiful historic property and preserving it and adaptively reusing it. The applicant is Centerville Crossing LLC. The use will be for a Sotheby's real estate office, and it's a beautiful design. It sits right next to what used to be a livery and stable, which is part of the property, which also was at one time the Centerville community meeting place, I believe. So it's part of a village. Again, hearkening back to what I said earlier, it's going to be one of the anchors of our economic development driver, the the whole Brandywine Valley Scenic Historic Corridor, working synergistically with the Red Clay Scenic Historic Corridor. And it's going to bring a lot of clean tourist dollars here. And folks like to go to places like Centerville, like Emanuink or New Hope, where they can get out of their car and walk around. And it's you look at it right away and you say, you know what, this is a pedestrian-friendly village where the cars are welcome but second-class citizens. If the cars, when you go into Centerville now, you have a sense you have to slow down. You recognize that this is a pedestrian precinct, and I want to commend all the folks that have worked so hard on this over the years. I just have one point that I want to make that I made at the planning board. This doesn't take away from my strong support for the project. And this, I'm seconding the exact sentiments of the Centerville Design Review Advisory Committee. And could I get a typo fixed that says Hokesson Design Review Advisory Committee at the top of page 4? We could correct that to Centerville. I'd appreciate that. And they said that they voted to recommend approval of the adaptive reuse, but the DRAC did not approve the design of the proposed driveway because it didn't comply with the Centerville design guidelines, which restricts double-width driveways. Now, if you think about a village from the 1800s, you know, you brought a carriage in and out. You brought a horse in and out. You didn't bring cars passing in and out at the same time. And you know, that's a problem because we have nationally, this is not a problem locally, but nationally, you have transportation people that think the AASHTO standards are mandatory. Let me state for the record, and I ask anyone that, you know, wants to challenge me, I'll be happy to show you chapter and verse. AASHTO standards are recommended. They're not mandatory. And there's a back of the chapter of every AASHTO book that's called the context-sensitive standards, which say, well, one size doesn't fit all. If you're dealing with a historic village, for example, you don't need a double-width driveway so that you know, two trash trucks can pass each other at the same time. Unfortunately, you have a lot of old-school people in Del Dot that pretend that the context-sensitive standards in the back don't exist. Fortunately, Del Dot has some really enlightened people. You also, and with all due respect to the fire marshal, you know, they're sort of old school too. Not all of them are, but the fire marshal national organization has recognized that they're out of pace with historic preservation, which is why the national organization came up with national standards which have not been adopted by our state fire marshal. You know, for him, one size fits all. He's got blinders on when it comes to historic villages, whether it's Centerville or Claymont. And we have the support in Claymont Fire Company for narrower streets in their village. But the fire marshal overruled everybody because, you know, it's a mindset. So I just want to go on record because Del Dot's inconsistent. They say they never support a one-lane road. Well, folks, have any of you been on Smith Bridge Road? It's a one-lane covered bridge. Now, cars are happy to wait before they take turns crossing. That's what makes it part of its charm. That was a mission from the Centerville Civic Association and the whole folks that wanted to see this historic area preserved, because they said, what about the back chapter of the AASHTO book? And Del Dot said, oh, okay, you're right. We can make things one lane. Well, you know, unfortunately, the person who championed that died, Pat Cannon. And we didn't have anyone as vociferous as her. So I'm here pounding the table because Pat Cannon, if she hadn't died of cancer 6 months ago, would have been here doing that. That's all I have to say.
Does the applicant have anything to say?
Just very briefly, this is a rezoning because the property zone NC-15, but it's rezoned to historic overlay. And essentially, we have two lots, and just very briefly, there's an existing house from 1830 that's right on Kennett Pike, an existing garage, both of which will be offices, and then there's an adaptive reuse addition on the back of the house. All of this architecture is going to be governed by the Historic Review Board because they've been involved with the process. In fact, this plan's been through the Board of Adjustment related to the lot size. It's been to the Historic Review Board where it passed unanimously. It's been to the Planning Board where it's passed unanimously. And the Land Use Department also supports the rezoning. Councilman Weiner has raised the issue regarding the entranceway. The guidelines of the community call for 16-foot entranceway. The entranceway is actually 20 feet, reduced down from 24, which is the Del Dot guideline. So the councilman, the persistence on the issue has gotten it reduced from 24 to 20. In fact, it was even wider than that when we had a sidewalk running alongside of that. We realigned the sidewalk to go outside of the wall. So the 16 feet by the village guidelines, we actually have a 20-foot entranceway. But we minimized it as much as we could, consistent with what was required by Del Dot and the state fire marshal. This plan has also gone through the Centerville Drac and been approved by that group. It's also been approved by the Kennett Pike Association. So I think it's a good story to end your meeting with, because it really does have the support of everyone. There's been a lot of community involvement, many public meetings, and that's where we're at.
Okay, that was Bill Redondo talking.
Yes, thank you.
Councilor Cartier?
Yes, I would just like to offer my compliments to the community, the applicant, for bringing this forward, preserving an historic property, reusing it for a new purpose in the 21st century, and maintaining community character as best they can, given our standards today. So I wish there were many more of these going on. Historic overlay zone measures, and I'm very pleased to support this tonight.
If I could just take my hat off, George Hobbs, the owner of the property, who's actually the mind behind this whole concept of redeveloping this property,
yeah,
is quite an undertaking, and really he deserves the credit for taking on this three-headed monster at times. Any other questions from council?
No.
Make it short.
Yes. I also want to thank George Hobbs. I didn't know if he wanted his name mentioned or not, but since you did, Bill, I'll second that.
Okay. Anything from the public on this? Okay. We went to other. Ms. Gold?
Yes. May I make an announcement? The state legislature this past spring designated a week in September. My name is Peggy Schultz, League of Women Voters of Newcastle County. They designated a week in September as Sea Level Rise Awareness Week. And as you know, we have significant issues along those lines in Newcastle County. There are four meetings that the League of Women Voters is sponsoring throughout the state. Two of them are going to be in Newcastle County, because Southbridge has very particular and special issues. There's going to be one meeting in Southbridge and then one at Limestone Presbyterian Church. And I hope that you all will be able to attend these meetings. As you know, the land use, power of regulation and land use lies with you gentlemen here in Newcastle County, largely, of course, City of Newark, Wilmington, have say in their own jurisdictions. But you all are very, very important in this sea level rise adaptation puzzle. And I'd like to distribute these maybe as you leave.
Thank you. Anything else from the public?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.